Worthy Jesus, magnify you. And I gave instruction through Paul to the church, to the proper order of church services. It was never meant to hold the comer back. It was never meant to keep back my spirit from falling on all flesh, as I prophesied through Joel. It was to hold back, keep back confusion. But to those who went in those days and allowed my word to transform them, and throughout the ages, those who have allowed my word to transform them have allowed my spirit to bring them forth to produce in the services the atmosphere that I desired. So I would say unto you, saith the Spirit of grace, to sing in the Spirit, to sing with the understanding, worship in the Spirit and worship with the understanding. Let my glory flow through you, that you might be continually transformed into the image of the firstborn, saith the Spirit of grace. When you come together like this, allow my spirit to flow. Do not hold back. For in understanding there is safety. And as these things have been laid before you, line upon line and precept on precept, there is an understanding in your foundation that allows me to bring this place to a higher level in my call. For surely I desire to visit you with signs and wonders and great miracles. But these things ride in on your worship, saith the Spirit of grace. So bring forth in the Spirit and in the understanding. Let my glory come. Do not abate, do not hold back, for surely I do not, saith the Spirit of grace. I want to say to our extended family that's out there watching us this morning in several different places, states, and even countries around the world that we get reports from, as we're worshiping God and we're coming into your living room, just engage, just totally engage. Separate yourself. His presence goes right through the airwaves. We pray in the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit, worship with us. You're part of us. Hallelujah. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a great big hug. Why don't you? Spend a little time giving each other a great big hug. Hallelujah. If I didn't hug you, I'm hugging you now. Love all of you. Praise the Lord. There is really no exhortation over the offering so much. Just believing that we receive. Now, we do a lot of teaching, and we want to put you in a posture where your giving is based on your heart and your love, and not out of a disposition of your fear that God's somehow going to curse you if you don't, or out of a carrot on a stick motivation that God's going to make you a millionaire if you do. So, hallelujah. So we're just going to pray and ask you to ask God what he'd have you to give this morning, and perhaps some of you already prepared that, but it really does help a lot. We appreciate your consideration. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for all the great grace that you've given to us in these hours, Lord, as we go into what we affectionately term the kingdom of God, the revival at hand. Thy kingdom come. thy will be done. I thank you, Father, for your prosperity in their lives, that you meet all of their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then in turn, out of that, Lord, that you prepare their hearts, speak to their hearts, guide them, we pray. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that are watching, you're part of our family. The Lord speaks to you, and I hope that he does from time to time. There's a couple of different ways that you can go to our website and mail it in, or you can go to PayPal, and it's just real easy, and we certainly appreciate so much your giving. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand together once again, and give us an opportunity. If Marty, if you can give us something, if you have something, bring it down. If not, just maybe turn to someone and say hi again. Hallelujah. Amen. Appreciate your giving. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Jesus. In the increase of your government, there'll be no end. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that time, aren't you? Millennial reign. That's going to be exciting. I think one of the most exciting parts about that is those that have that'll be transformed at his coming, living in a glorified body among billions of other earthlings that do not have a glorified body, will basically be like X or Supermen. But they will have no families then. It changes the order of things, but will reign with him for 1,000 years. In the millennial. And then he changes everything. The universe flees away at his command. And some things I'll miss, but some things I think I'll miss, but not. You know, I love to have that early morning cup of coffee. And you guys know I pray early, and that doesn't exalt me. It's just my time. So it's sometimes a few hours before daylight. And I'm looking where I'm sitting outside, especially, don't you love this time of year? So the October skies are great. So you're the morning star, the Venus is sitting there, and about this time of year, a little later, Jupiter and Mars start showing up right beside of it. And Mars, you can always tell, it's just that little flickering kind of a reddish look, and Jupiter's there. But no more stars in the new eternity, because the word says that there's no more night. There's seven no mores. Candy and I love to go to the beach on Thursdays. No more seas. No more seas. There is a crystal sea, though. Maybe we can hang out around the crystal sea. No mores. Seven no mores. No pain. No crying. No sun. There's no sun. For the word says he'll be the light. Hallelujah. Us humans, we think light has to come from someplace. It must be another. It has to have a power source like the sun. But there'll be no sun, because he'll be the light thereof. Hallelujah. And no more nights. No more nights. Hallelujah. But it's going to be a good place. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and just worship him just a little bit longer? Father, we love you. We praise you and magnify you. Thank you for Jesus more than we ever have. We thank you for that coming day. But between now and then, there's a great harvest to be had. There is a great harvest. And Father, you've elected, you've called us to be a part of that great harvest. You've filled us with your Spirit and with the power of the Holy Ghost to, by love, bring forth a harvest in the earth. Get ready to go home and bring a multitude with us. We give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for the precious person of the Holy Spirit that is here with us this morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. We've been having a really good time over the last several weeks. And I wanted to tell you not to forget tonight. Homer will be ministering at 6, and that will be live streaming. So that's to the young adults. So please be here, as many of you that can. It's for the millennials. But it's for everybody. I mean, it's good teaching. Always been very, very good teaching, and always will be. So invite everybody out there. We normally are not streaming at 6, but tonight we will be streaming at 6. Okay? Hallelujah.
All right, why don't you turn with me to 2 Timothy, rather. Hallelujah. And I will get over there myself. And then I will tell you, we're going to go to 2 Timothy. I'll be in the first chapter. This morning, for the last few services, we were talking about a storm that has presently come to the church. And I'm not just talking about this church per se, but to the church at large. God was giving us directives to immunize us, if you want to say it that word, like that, against such things. And so we did that for 3 services. And if you were not in those services, it was this past Wednesday night, the Sunday prior, and the Wednesday prior to that. And it was, help me out, Candy, what are those titles? Lone Wolf Sheep 1 and 2, and then Sundays, and then Wednesdays was. You say, well, you're the one that produced them, I know, but that's irregular. No, that's 3 weeks ago. It's Wednesday nights, this past Wednesday night. Okay, that's all right. But anyway, those 3 are kind of in a package of teaching, and they're just really, really something that's very pertinent that you need to be hearing right now concerning, amen, Marcia? Amen. So she was texting me yesterday on that. Hallelujah. All right. 2 Timothy. If I seem like I'm stalling, I'm listening more than anything else. What's that? Hand join in hand. That's Wednesday night. Very powerful. Very, very strong. Very, very powerful. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now this, just in preface real quick here, just to give you a brief synopsis of where this book is at and what Paul is writing. Last book of his life, okay? He's within possibly months of being beheaded in Nero's court, and he has left Timothy at the church at Ephesus. And Timothy is pastoring. He's the head pastor there. I do not know the number. It was a large church, very large church. It's the first church that John mentions in the book of Revelation when God starts talking to the 7 churches of the book of Revelation. And those 7 churches are alive today in Christendom. They're not alive in the Middle East. They actually don't really exist there. But in God's foreknowing prophecies, he knew that the end-time church would exist. Paul is writing present tense to Timothy, and Rick Renner, which is a foremost historian, born-again, spirit-filled, and I think we read some of his stuff last Wednesday night, said that in the first few years, after Paul's ministry there, and Paul, you know, of course, we read in the book of Acts where Paul had actually ministered there. I think it was out of Acts chapter 20. He was reaccounting, and he said, I was there with you night and day, laboring with tears. And he was talking about Ephesus for 3 years. But Rick says that the church went from, like, birth to maybe 60, 70, 80,000 people. It was a very, very strong church. And so Timothy, as a young pastor, he had his work cut out for him. And so Paul is writing from prison as his spiritual father, and he's within a brief amount of time from being executed. And Paul knows, the Holy Spirit's already shown him, his days are limited. So when Paul is writing this to the church at Ephesus and to Timothy, He's not writing this from a second-hand account. In other words, this is not somebody that's about to say something here that we're going to get to in verse 7 who's on a Caribbean cruise liner and enjoying life and just speaking out of theoretics. This is what he's about to say is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh in the Spirit. In other words, this is who Paul was. And Timothy can follow him because his father in the Spirit is in Rome, and he's about to be beheaded. But Paul is trying to encourage this young man. We'll just start at verse 1 because really what I want to get to is verse 7. But it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, peace, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And this is where we're at today, and this is what I want us to begin to kind of look at real strong here. But Paul's getting this over to him, but this gets over to all of us, because the truth he said to him that day is a truth for all of us. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we'll just stop right there. Now, what he's talking about there, we've done series and series on this, so I can't divulge and go into all that, but most of you would know, and I'll just say this, the understanding on this, and all I can say is you'll have to trust me or go back and check out line on line what we've said, and I encourage you to do that. But when he says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, he is not talking about the Holy Ghost per se here. He is talking about who you became the moment that you got born again. And so, again, we've laid maybe I want to say hundreds, but it might not be exaggeration to say thousands of hours, hundreds, at least hundreds of hours of teaching to show that. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy. He's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, what that is describing is the moment that you got born again, that's who you became. Now, I've written some things down as the Holy Spirit gave them to me, and so I'll read these things, and then we'll share as the Lord speaks. This is not what he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. This is not a disposition. He's not describing that God's given you some kind of disposition. It would be a misnomer to say you have a disposition of power and of love and a sound mind. It would be absolutely wrong to say that you have an attitude or a mindset of these. That's weak. That's weak to say you have a predisposition or a disposition of power, love, and sound mind. What he's talking about is the very fabric of what you are at your born-again core. That's what you became. God's not changed your mindset. This is not a mindset situation. This is a DNA. Your very DNA, just like you have a DNA in your body, the DNA of your spirit is this: power, love, and sound mind. Hallelujah. Anything less is weak. It's just weak to think. The understanding is far more powerful than that. It is this, actually, that you are. This is innate, as I said. This is the very DNA of the person you became in Christ Jesus. The spirit you received came from God. It came from God. It is of God in origin, but it is human in existence. Do you understand that? This born-again spirit, it came, the Holy Spirit birthed it in you the moment you got born again. It came from Him, but it's not deity. It has all the qualities that deity has, but you are not the fourth member of the Godhead. Your born-again spirit is a human spirit. It exists inside of you, inside of your body, and that born-again spirit is power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Now, most of you say, well, Pastor, we've heard this. We understand this. That's great, wonderful. We're giving it to them, and all of us are listening again and saying, yes, this is who we are. Remind us again and again. This all happens. The beautiful part about that is this. This all happens before you're born again. I mean, before you're anointed. Before you're anointed. What do you mean? Anointed being like, I'm going to say, the Holy Spirit is, let me describe it this way, He's the icing on the cake. Once you get filled with the Holy Spirit and received the gift of tongues, He's come and baptized that born-again spirit. But this power, love, and a sound mind happened before all that. It happened that whole thing could have happened simultaneously. I mean, you could have been born-again, spirit-filled all in one setting. But power, love, and a sound mind was not predicated on whether you got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And we're learning more and more that praying in tongues was not for praying in tongues. Hallelujah. It was for what? Power. In other words, He didn't give us praying in tongues just so we could pray in tongues. There's an end. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. The power this spirit has can rule over the sin question of the body of flesh. The power in the spirit can heal the body, the human body that it exists in. And let me say that again. Listen, please. The power that is in this self-existent, born-again spirit can rule over sin. Remember what I said, even prior to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know I'm not demeaning that. But it can rule over the sin question of the flesh even before. The power in the spirit, this spirit, that born again, can heal the human body in the body it exists in. We went over that, Romans 8:2, and you don't have to turn there. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and what? And death. Dave used to say that the death part was all the cousins to sin. Sickness, disease, oppression. This is the interesting part. Okay. He bore in His body our infirmities. And Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:23. One says, by His stripes we are. One says, by His stripes we, past tense, were. So we know the foundational truth in the atonement was that whipping post, the suffering starting in Gethsemane, going all the way through the judgment, going through Pilate's court, judged, stripes, our healing, the broken of His body. That's the foundation of the atonement for our healing. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life, we just read it, in Christ Jesus, has set us, born-again folks, free from the law of sin and of death. That law that's in us is that born-again life. In other words, again, we've said this, when you're believing God for your healing, like, oh, sore throat, ooh, fever, ache, that doesn't come from out there. That law is already in you. It's the spirit of life. In other words, all healing for you is already in you. It's a predisposed spirit of power. Well, what power? First of all, the power to keep you, to get you healed and to keep you healed. That power doesn't have to, will you pray for me, Pastor? I sure will. But we're not asking God to come from heaven or come. He don't even have to emanate from my hands. Now, he will. But let him emanate, or we love this word, coined it, ooze from who you are. There's enough oozing in you to ooze cancer completely out. As long as you're thinking it comes from, then you're misplaced a little bit. And when you are able to direct that faith and say, as I speak the word and believe the word, it can come from within. It's the power. Now to say all that, just as a side note, the Mark 16 going out into the world and ministering to them, now that does come from without. In other words, you're not the source of the generation of that power. It comes from the Holy Spirit. But it does come out of you. The Holy Spirit flows in you and out of you. In other words, they don't have a covenant with God. It can't ooze out of them. But he will heal them as a testimony. So it'll come from you. Hallelujah. We got that part. Hallelujah. You do not have to ask God. Now here's basically an understanding that we have a law, that we have a spirit of power. That power will heal you. And that power will give you the power. Love you, Holy Ghost. Wonderful. Thank you for coming into me. Just extra on extra. But when you stepped in and created the born-again spirit, you gave me the power to live above sin. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Now, that power breaks down in a number of different ways. It's power to be healed or to heal itself. And it's the power to live above sin. Hallelujah. You do not have to ask God to help you stop sinning. You just stop. You may have to speak the word and speak directives. Listen, no more than you ask. How many of you know we went through that whole thing and some of you were like, what? I don't know if he might be off. Just like when I said, you don't pray when you get to a need. Jesus never prayed. He gave directives. Now, Jesus prayed, but you'll never. Now, here we searched it out. You find one time where Jesus ever went and prayed and asked, God, I'm asking you to heal this person. He never did. Not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. We went through about 40 different examples. He just stepped up. Now, he had a prayer life, but he stepped up and he said, come out, go wash, be healed. He gave directives. Now, you may have to give directives to your flesh, but if you ask God to help you stop sinning, he's already done that. He gave you the life of the new nature. You don't have to ask him to heal you. And you don't have to ask him to help you to stop sinning. What do I do then? Just stop sinning. It is oftentimes a cop-out when people say, I need to pray more or fast more to stop this sin in my life. It's not oftentimes, it is anytime anybody says that. Well, pray more. But before you ever uttered your first tongue, or before you ever pushed back your first plate, you had more than enough power to stop sinning. In the same way, praying more does not bring about the existence of the present truth that our bodies and minds are free from sickness and oppression. The Spirit has no, remember what he said here before, he said, God's not given us a spirit of fear. This Spirit has no timidity. Do you understand that? The Spirit that, the Holy Ghost, now I know the Holy Ghost, he created the worlds. He's not scared of anything. But you're born again spirit. Any fear that you ever have comes from your soul. Now there's good fear. I mean, there's the kind like says, if I step out in front of that bus, it's probably going to kill me. You need to have that. But this spirit has no timidity. It is not afraid of anything. It's not afraid of man. It is not afraid of Satan. And this spirit's not afraid of death. That's how far it goes. It's not afraid of anything. Hallelujah. Now the subject or the title today is A Sound Mind. And we'll probably be on this maybe for a couple of weeks because the Lord's, we're just kind of introducing it today. This sound mind, this spirit is a spirit of a sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. This spirit is innately DNA power. And that's Didymus power. That's strong power. Two types of power in the Greek. Exousia and Didymus. This is that Didymus power. Power, love, and a sound mind. Your spirit person has a mind. It has a mind. It's not a blob, okay? If I die, which I won't before this service is over, you couldn't see me, but I'd step out and I'd look like me, although I may be more handsome. And I know that's hard for you to believe. But I would not be a blob. Paul said when he visited heaven in the spirit, out of the spirit, I could not tell. Well, how come, Paul? Because you look like you. You are who you are. The only thing is your spirit has a mind. It has a born-again mind. Hallelujah. It can communicate with God. It can hear from God. This spirit is a spirit of a sound mind. This spirit has a mind. And it is sound. The mind that the born-again spirit has is a place where you can hear God. This is where the voice of God is located. I don't know if you've ever heard Dave's two tape. It was tape then. Maybe they've digitized it. It is one of the best on distinguishing God's voice. You do not hear God in your spiritual toenails, okay? Or you do not hear God in your spiritual belly button. You're hearing God, the communication of God comes to you through this sound mind, this spiritual mind. Now, it doesn't necessarily relate like in words. It can hear words. But to hear God, you hear Him through the sound mind. This is where the voice of God is located. This is where the awareness, listen to this, this is where the awareness of things that our sin is communicated. It may not be in words, but it is an awareness. In other words, the moment you get born again, you have an aptitude to be taught. In other words, that's why you come here, and that's why you study, I hope, and pray that you read the Word on your own. You have an aptitude to be taught by the Holy Spirit. A person that is not yet born again, they may be mentally brilliant, but they don't have a spiritual aptitude yet. They don't. And they may be able to rehearse something you said to them, but that doesn't mean that they get it in the place where you get stuff. I mean, where you really can really perceive and understand. But the spirit sound mind is where God communicates all revelation knowledge to you. It's also the place where he gets over the awareness. And I put it in a perspective of an awareness, not necessarily words per se. Because you might not hear words, but you know the do's and don'ts of the Spirit, of that born-again nature. And even before you can rehearse revelation knowledge, you're just 5 minutes old, born again. Somebody got you born again at a coffee shop, or your colleague got you born again, or your pastor got you born again, your mom or dad or friend or whatever got you born again. You're born again, and now there is a communication process there on the inside, and it's that sound mind. It's that place, and it's a place where God communicates to you, and nobody has to tell you. I mean, you just know that stealing's wrong. And you don't hear the words, but it comes to you. You know stealing's wrong. You know adultery's wrong. You know fornication's wrong. You know looking at stuff that is out of order is wrong. Reading stuff. Well, Pastor, I just need to pray more. No, you don't. You've got every bit of everything inside of you need. Pray more, yes. All pray more does is convince the part of you that is trying to make an excuse that I need to pray more to just stop it. Amen. All prayer and fasting and word ever does is just totally accentuate what you've already become. Now, honestly, I used to think, even once I got on this walk, that I needed to pray. When I'd have a fit, or I'd have to, I know y'all don't, you wouldn't believe that I've ever thrown a fit. When I was 5 years old, what'd you do? I know that y'all wouldn't believe that I've ever gotten a car and drove off. I know that y'all wouldn't believe that I've ever thrown anything. That, no. But you know what? I love the way Pastor Dave used to put us on the, he said, anytime you ever did anything like that, the only way to get past it is never, ever, ever start blaming the devil. Don't blame him, because he didn't have the power to make you do anything. He would say this, and this he got across to us. You square your shoulders up. You look into the face of your flesh and the devil and say, you know what? I did that because I totally chose and wanted to do that. And Satan, you didn't have the power. Flesh, even though maybe I hadn't prayed in 6 months, even you, if you're still born again, if the candle's still in there lit, your flesh did not have the power to make you do that. Well, if I'd have been fasting, that's an excuse. If I'd have been praying more, that's an excuse. You didn't have to throw a fit. You could have sucked it up. What we're trying to do is eliminate the excuses from all of our lives. That's the only way. Anytime that you've got part of your flesh that's making an excuse, that part, whether we realize it, see, Christians have a whole lot more communication with the rhetoric of Satan than what we realize. And the ground that he's able to walk on in our life is still the part that we, many times we don't realize it, but it's still the part that we're giving him ground and you're having communion with him because you're making an excuse and saying, well, that's the reason why I am like I am. Thank you. This is where the awareness of things that are sin, as we just said, is communicated. It's not, it may not be in words, but it's an awareness. Now we're doing everything we can to prepare. There's two things going to happen. The two things. It's amazing. The best and the worst of everything. The best is that based on everything I see here, not because I made it up and said, hurrah, cheerleader, let's do it, Bronc Flint Ministries. No, it's not my ministry, it's his. And all of you are part of it. But based on what I see in Scripture is before the end time, there's a great harvest. I also see, based on everything I'm seeing prophetically, everything from Ezekiel, Daniel, all the way through the writings or the words of Jesus, all the way through John's, there is a great storm coming. Much of the church apostatizes. Much of it. There's at least five virgins that diverge that are caught up. And Paul prophesied it. He said, Jesus prophesied it in Matthew 24. He said, because the love of many will wax cold. You know, many will go because the love of many will wax cold. Paul said the same things. He said, have not I told you this? But now I'm paraphrasing. That day shall not come except there be a falling away first. And that man of perdition will be revealed. There's a storm coming. It's already here. It's not coming. It's already here. We love grace here, but the radical grace message is taking thousands of people away. Now, will they lose their eternal salvation? I hope not, unless they just turn so far away that they just walk and go back into everything that they once were. Matthew 7, 24. Let's turn there together. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this? 5, 6, and 7, tremendous teachings. A million messages out of there. I'm exaggerating, not really, but because all the words of Christ are very powerful. This is his Sermon on the Mount, his teachings. But we're just going to look at a couple of verses here, two or three verses. Therefore, after he said all this in 5, 6, and 7, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Everybody say, doeth them. I'll read it again. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended. Here's the storm, because their storms are going to come. This is going to come prophetically to the church at large, but you can believe this individually as well. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew. Where am I at? And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a what? Rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, this you know, but we have to say it again and again and again. It is not just the hearing. You have to hear, but it's not just the hearing. It is the doing. It is the doing. We've had a lot of people that I just love. I love them as much as I love anybody sitting here. Love them just as much. A lot of people that have come here, ate in this pasture, thought this was where they would probably be for the rest of their life, and moved on to other pastures. For the most part, it was not the hearing that they lacked. It was the doing. God help every one of us, that we not only appreciate what we know, but that we do what we know. See, if you're only doing one part of the equation, if you're only hearing and appreciating, there has been people come through here that were, at one time they were the millennials. They could repeat, and I know some men that could repeat the revelation that Dave gave over almost every facet as well, and sometimes they said it better than I did. But they're not here today, and many of them are not even serving God, because it's not in the knowing, it's in the doing. Hallelujah. Just understand this, knowing all this is no safeguard for you. It is no safeguard. Knowing it all is no safe. Well, praise God, I go to the prayer center. Hallelujah. But if you spend the night in a garage, that doesn't make you a car. I spend the night in the garage. Well, in other words, being here doesn't make you, it makes you more knowledgeable, but it's the doing. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It is the hearing and the doing. Why don't we just say that? It's the hearing, and the doing. Hallelujah. You sound good out there. And I will say this, don't live off. I really appreciate everybody that's watching. I really, honestly, I appreciate. I don't want you to ever think that I'm demeaning. When you tell me after a service, and you don't have to. I'm not saying, I'm not fishing here. But if you say after a service, Pastor, man, I got something out of that. I really enjoyed it. I love that. I mean, that encourages me. I'm just like anybody else. I get encouraged by people saying, I really got something out of it. A lot of times the millennials will say something to me. They'll say, and, you know, I really got something. I really especially enjoy my wife getting some out of it. My kids a lot of times will come home and say, Dad, man, that was really good. I really got something out of it. Those are encouragement. It's wonderful. All of us would, when we share the gospel, we feel that way. But I want you to understand this. Don't live off church. And don't live off my sermons or my teachings. You have to live off the doing of what you hear and what you're gleaning from the Lord. Let the word provoke you to do something on your own. See that, I know. I got some precious people that are close to me like this. I won't name names, but they're shut-ins. And all they live off of, all they ever live off, and it's sad, they don't even open their own Bible anymore. All they live off of is whatever they get off of TV. That's like drinking soda pop and eating Snickers bars all day long and never, ever having anything nutritious to eat. It's like eating junk all day long. And it's pitiful. And I don't know what else to do anymore except that I just pray for them, love them when I can, sow a little bit every once in a while. But the church at large, whether they're shut in or not, because nobody, not... Okay, reel it in a little bit, Bronk. Okay, don't want to stereotype too much, but a major portion of the church does nothing for themselves. They don't read the Word themselves. They don't. I went to church. Wonderful. Now, you don't have to be a Bronk. You don't have to be a Homer. You don't have to be a Gay. You don't have to be a Candy. You don't have to be a Barbara. I don't know what. I don't even check on all these exactly what time they're spending. But listen, to grow, you're going to have, it doesn't have to be extended hour. You're going to have some time between you and the Lord. I didn't say to be born again. And you know what? Some people are just happy with that. I'm going to heaven. But my God, there's something inside of you. If you ever wake that spirit up, allow that spirit to wake, it can't live off of mediocrities. It just can't live off of a mundane kind of. It wants more. Hallelujah. You can't get it just here at church. You can't just grow just from coming here and listening. You got to go out and at least have some. I don't know, is that 20 minutes, 30 minutes in the morning, 40 minutes in you reading the Word? I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm telling you, it's got to happen. To grow. Again? Born again? No. To grow? Yes. Hallelujah. I don't want you to just get something out of the teaching. I want you to do something out of the teaching. I don't want you to get something. I want you to do something. Our objective is not to give you something inspirational. Well, Pastor, that had just inspired me. Now, again, I'm not making fun. Thank you for your compliments. That inspired me. Wonderful. Now, are you going to do anything with that inspiration? Are you going to put some perspiration to that inspiration? Well, what does that mean? Well, case in point, what are you going to pray for anybody in the next couple weeks? Is that a colleague at work says, my family is sick, or I'm sick, or what about you praying for them? Laying hands, well, they don't even know I'm a Christian. Well, my God, Jesus, that's even worse. You work there for 5 years, they don't even know that you're born again, spirit-filled, and Jesus, my God. I mean, you don't have to walk down the hall saying, you know, glory to God, praise God. But they ought to know. Well, it might bring some persecution. Folks, if you're scared of persecution, you're already off base. And if somebody sometime doesn't talk about you or malign you or persecute you a little bit, you're off base. If everybody likes you in your sphere, if all the sinners and all the Christians like you, something's wrong with you. You should be making somebody somewhere mad. Oh, hallelujah. Well, it's company policy. Okay, well, I understand company policy. But there's always private meetings. Hallelujah. All right. You know why? Because we have a world to win. Christians have got where they just want to, we've gotten politically correct. You know, in our mentality, like we're supposed to keep people happy. Where in the Word does it say? Where in the world, in the Word, does it say to keep people happy? Jesus said, your enemies will be that of your household. I'm not trying to start conflict. I'm just saying if you live the life, sometimes you're going to run into a situation where somebody don't like it. Hallelujah. Okay, got a little preachy there. The sound mind, here, let's talk about the sound mind people for just a moment. Sound mind people are not victims. We're not victims. Listen to this, because this is right there. Power, love, sound mind. Sound mind people are not victims. Anytime you have anytime that you may have a portion of victim mentality, it's the ground that your flesh and Satan are agreeing on. Now, we said that a little bit ago, but that bears repeating. Anytime that anyone in your way of thinking, like this is the way you think, anyone holds any part of your peace or physical healing. Did you get that? If in your way of thinking anyone holds your peace or your physical healing, you are a victim, and victims are agreeing with their flesh and Satan. They may have an agreement with God. In other words, you may be quoting another scripture over here on one part of His Word, and yet an agreement in their minds with Satan on another part of His Word. Well, you say, His Word? He's got a Word. His Word is the rhetoric that feeds your natural mind. Your sound mind, which is your born-again mind, is in total opposition to this. Satan has a word too, or also. His word is excuses, victim mentality, past failures, inabilities of the present. Quote, I can't do that. I can't go there or accomplish that because I'm this way. I can't stop. I can't have that, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If they had not done that to me, I'd be just fine in my emotions today. I like the way, I got to step around for this one. Pastor Dave says, anytime that you, that person was the person that was it. That was my life. Anytime that you're holding them in that regard, that's the way, or that deal there. Once that's removed, he said, just get ready, because there's somebody else to replace that person. In other words, if your focus is that person is the person that kept me from succeeding in Christ, probably not, because if it hadn't have been them, in your way of thinking, it'd have been somebody else. In other words, there's always a trial to take another trial's place. Now, I'm not getting too many amens now, but I think you're, hallelujah. Satan has a word too. Victim mind versus a sound mind. It can often be spotted by their opening statements when they're trying to explain something to somebody. And don't get me wrong, there is sometimes maybe just some necessity. Jesus asked the Father, how long's this been on him, and he told him, but then Jesus did something about it. But here's how a victim mind talks. This is, you can pick it up. You can just pick it up. It all started when? Did you hear that? I mean, they just, every time you talk to them, it all started when, and I'll just throw some stuff, they left. She or he did this. When I ate this, when I went through that season, when I was disobedient, when I was living in sin, even having prior disobedience in Christ is no excuse for you present tense going forward and going on. Satan will use that too. Do you think you only get one shot at this? It's like Tim says. I love the way Tim says, you can't fail this because you get to take the test over and over again. Well, I was disobedient at that point in my life, and I know this is the way it's affected my body, and it's the way it affected my mind, and it's affected. What does that have to do with anything? You've got a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, that part of the ground that we all fellowship in, just the other day I was thinking, something started coming on my body, and then I started thinking, because simultaneously I got a choice. I'm going to speak to this thing and just go on. Or I was starting to think about, maybe that's affecting me because I did this. Or maybe, see, that's that right there just begins to step into that ground and that mind. And maybe my body's been affected this way because it's got a reason to. Now, for God's sake, if you know that something's affecting you, just stop it. But other than that, don't even. I was at a birthday party last night. It was so cool. Watson, my other son-in-law, his grandma, she's born again. I think spirit-filled. I don't know because she doesn't speak good English. I don't know. Wonderful lady. Wonderful born-again lady. 100 years old last night on that day. And she's sporty as she can be. Sporty as she can be. And they were having the kids come up there and say, and they had a real gala. I mean, it was beautiful. They had a really nice place rented, and it was just white cloth. And they had her up in at the front, and they had all the kids doing a trivia, and there was maybe a few hundred people there. I don't know, a couple hundred. And they were like, what things do you know? Who knows the most about grandma or whatever? Well, one was, and I didn't know this, she doesn't eat meat. And I said to myself, well, maybe that's her longevity. She doesn't eat meat. And I said, oh, no, 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 wait a minute. Because I thought Gary's mama, just as sporty, I think Gary's mama's out sports. Now, this woman, really, she gets out on the dance floor, and she dances, and she moves. And she, they said it, and I didn't stay long enough, but they said at her grandson's wedding that I just went to a few months ago, they said that she outdanced everybody and she was the last one on the dance floor. It's 100 years old. But Gary's mama, she is, in my thinking, she's even beyond her. She is incredibly in her mind, sporty, witty. She keeps me laughing every time I'm around her, and she moves just like this woman. And she's 96, and she eats all the meat she can get her hands on. And my granddaddy was way up in his was in his 90s, and if you sit down and tried to feed him a meal without meat, he was like, when y'all gonna feed supper? There's no meals without a meat. Meat is the meal. Amen. And all my people on both sides, it's not uncommon for on the other side for them to live in their hundreds. I mean, and they can't get enough meat. So, you know, why did I say all that? I don't know. No, it was like reasonings. Well, should I be a veggie tail? Or should I be, you know, a meat eater? God Almighty, just live life in peace and follow your spirit. And don't give him excuses in that realm of like, I ate this, I did that. God Almighty, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, like in disobedience, my question is, did you repent? Yes. Well, then it's over. I don't care what you were doing, it's over. But see, some people don't like to repent. Repent. Listen, even if you were, I like this word, slob. Everybody say slob. Even if you were a slob and you're dying, what's Homer saying back there? Mr. Slob. Even if you were Mr. Slob in your diet before, that gives him no excuse for him to be able to rule and reign over your body, present tense. Even if you were Mr. or Mrs. Slob in your finances prior to, the moment that you square up and say, and I'm not even going to live in that realm. It all ended at the cross. Hallelujah. You may have been a victim in your adolescence. Now, that's probably the closest thing to an excuse when kids can't take care of themselves. But here's even the deal on that. One of the ladies that we love, Miss Donna Roberson. I won't get gross on this, but at four years old, her mama sold her. And they did everything, okay? Now that right there is enough to make people go insane. And she did for a while. She became a witch. And she had a lot of power in that realm. But the moment that she got born again, all bets were off. She lives out now, not out of the memory of all of that. And it wasn't one time. It was numerous times. She lives out of the life of Christ Jesus inside of her. There's no excuses. She doesn't start out she may give that as a testimony to show how far she's come, but there's no excuses. Glory be to God. How many have enjoyed Donna? She's going to be out up here next year, I think, next year. We may have been a victim in your adolescence. You may have made poor choices in life. You may have made poor choices in character. You may have made the wrong choice in a husband. Somebody said, yeah, glory to God. That one hit the spot. You may have chose the wrong wife. You may have chose the wrong church. You may have chose the wrong pastor. You may have had no pedigree in your past. You'll hear more people say this. Well, I was raised as a heathen. The reason why I'm kind of like I am, I was raised by a bunch of heathens. Well, what in God's name does that have to do with anything now? You've been boned again. You're a new creature. It doesn't matter what daddy was, mama was. Galatians 3:13 says the law of the Spirit. Listen, this is where all that, and I'm just going to term it real nice, junk about the inner healing rooms. You say, Pastor, you wouldn't say that if you knew about it. Listen, I went through the course. Now, nobody in here, you might be on the equal, nobody in here can tell me anything on that I haven't heard. Because the man that was taking us through that, this was before Dave, the man that was taking us through that was brilliant. He's a doctor. He worked for NASA. The only thing is brilliance got in way of his spiritual intelligence. And it was all a bunch of foolishness. So I've heard it all on that. Where people come in and they, like an onion, they're going to peel you back. All, and they take you back in your emotions. You are like you are because, or maybe I'm pulling demons off of you. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3. Christ became accursed. Cursed is everyone who, all curses are off. He became the curse. Osama bin Laden's son comes down the family prayer center, gets born again. A multiple race rapist's son or daughter comes down and gets born again. A serial killer's son or daughter comes down and gets born again. They get up. And I know their dad or mom is in prison. Do I have to take them aside and say, you have multiple curses on you. Devils are probably, the moment they got born again, all bets were off. They're just as free to walk. And now, can something come? Yes, yeah, something can come just like it can come to anybody. But they don't have to go back and start break. I break the 14th and the 15th and the 16th. I left there one time and I thought to myself, what if I forgot something? Now, that stuff's just demonic, folks. You might as well know. It's just anytime they have those, because what it does, it just, there is no, listen, your gospel car, get in there, yes, it has no rear view mirrors. It never looks back. And anytime anybody wants to sit you down and go back and go back and go back, they're going directly against the word. Well, how so? Well, turn with me to Philippians. I can show you. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? Oh, by the way, let me read some of the rest of this. I had no pedigree, okay? Some people may say, Pastor, my family were heathens. I had no spiritual upbringing. And as I said, what does that have to do with 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says that we became a new creature in Christ Jesus? Well, it was when I drank that, or it's when I smoked that, or it's when I listened to that, or it's when I watched that, or ate that, or talked to them, or it was when I lived like that, or said that, or acted that way, or was disobedient in his instructions. When they did that to me, when he took that away from me, or when they stole that, that's when all this started. And I would say, victim, victim, victim. Okay? Any agreement with any of these and more is an agreement that allows unwanted things to stay. Kingdom of God never looks back. Philippians 3, are you there? Look at verse 12. Not as though, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting. Everybody say forgetting. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the prize of the high calling I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And I love this this here. If in anything you're otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, if there's anything that is stopping you, God will show it to you. But he says, let this mind, have this mind. This is the sober mind. There's no rear view mirrors. The moment that you start talking about, well, I am this way because, okay, recognize that one time and then get off of that for the rest of your life. Go on. I press, Paul, now he said, forgetting those things. He said, did you read it where he said, I forget those things? Well, I can't forget it. I can't forget it. Listen, it's not that you're cognizant. You're cognizant may always have the aptitude to remember, but it never has the ability to cause you to rehearse. Once you rehearse, then you're remembering. You're cognizant may think of it. I mean, there's stuff that I think of at times where I was like, no, I ain't going to go there. It's not that what he's saying here is when you remember it is when you rehearse it. When you begin to say it or when you begin to meditate on it. He forgot. Paul had to do this. If he forgot everything, he had to forget that once he was a Pharisee, he had to forget the good stuff. He was headed towards maybe high priesthood because the man was super smart. And he was carrying a lot. Then he also had to forget that he of his own witness had people hauled off, jailed, and murdered, killed. Can you imagine in your prayer closet just worshiping God and then Satan, because you know he slipped up on him a bunch of times, and said, you have no right to be writing these epistles to anybody. There are people that are in eternity that are dead today because you had them killed. What do you do with that? Well, what's that? Yeah, that's it. Forget them. You go on. You go on. That's all in the past. That's all in the past. And if the past needs to be 5 minutes ago, let that be the past. But you always, all the time, have to be making decisions. That's in the past. The only thing, the kingdom of God's a sound mind thinks like this. It thinks on the present, choices of the present, and the future. It's never looking backwards. Hallelujah. Closing with this. No fear. No rear view mirrors. Remorse. Listen, remorse will kill you. If you allow remorse in your life, like thinking about what I should have done and all, that'll totally kill you. A sound mind has no remorse. The church at large cannot exercise their dominion over the flesh in sin and sickness because they are in such an agreement with it. The church really has far more agreement with Satan and the flesh than what they care to admit or even know. As I said, stop saying or thinking like, well, it all started when. It doesn't matter if it started as a result of natural things, demonic things, or your disobedience. It doesn't matter. It's in the past. Hallelujah. Start saying things like, I am healed, I am delivered, I am present tense prosperous, I can do all things through Christ, I'm not limited by anything. I'm not limited by my mind, my body, my spirit, not anything limits me. Well, Pastor, that's a lie. Well, that's a lie in your mind, but that's not a lie concerning the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, we'll break down. I got some breakdowns in the Greek here, but we'll save that to next week. Did you have a good time? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand with me, please. Hallelujah. 6 o'clock tonight, live streaming, ministering to the young adults. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Give you all the glory. Thank you for this teaching. Thank you for the renewing of our minds, and thank you for a sound mind in the beginning to start with. Lord, we commit all these things to you, and by your grace we receive. And let these words sink down into our spirits. And as Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, as he taught the word, and he also said that Satan cometh immediately to steal the word, let us walk in a garrison of our hearts that no immediate attack steals any word from us in which we've received. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.